President Trump said today that Democrats want to impeach him and they want to do it as quickly as possible. Right now, House Democrats haven't formally voted on impeachment. They've only started an impeachment inquiry, and there are big political stakes for both parties. Joining us now is a Democrat who lost her Senate seat last year in North Dakota to a Republican who has been very supportive of President Trump, former Democratic Senator Heidi Heitkamp. Welcome.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, and first of all, do you think, looking at what's going on with the impeachment inquiry right now and looking forward, that there's any chance that the Democrats don't end up impeaching this president?
You know, I think that everybody has got kind of the cart before the horse. The investigations that are ongoing, there may be something that exonerates this president. There may be things that are told that would say that the president was not aware. However, what we've seen so far is incredibly troubling. And I think once we get to the public hearings, we're going to have a much better idea on exactly where this whole thing falls out. But I think that the Democrats have clearly coalesced around actually conducting the inquiry, which wasn't true a month and a half ago.
Well, and so give me a sense of what you're hearing from people in your home state of North Dakota. Do you think that there is any appetite for impeachment right now?
I think there's two groups. One, the president is getting picked on. He's our guy. And even people like Senator Cramer, who defend him repeatedly and exhaust all reason in defending him, they're still not defending him enough. And then there's a second group. I wish it would all go away. I'm so tired of hearing about it. And this, none of this is helpful in moving the country forward. And so I think there is a level of exhaustion in America. And I don't think it's just in rural America. I think it's across the board. People just want things to be more normal.
So it seems like what you're saying is your message to the Democrats would be don't move forward with impeachment based on that?
No, I think that I think the speaker absolutely has a point when she says, I wasn't looking for this. It was handed to me. It was basically driven by the president. They have a constitutional obligation to do their job of checks and balances. I'm just saying that they also have their obligation to make a very targeted and I think specific case for why this president should be removed at the ballot box. And one of the concerns that I have is that impeachment basically sucks the oxygen out of the room in making the case for why Democratic leadership would be better for this country.
Okay, so let's talk about 2020 and the Democratic primary that's going on. There's a new poll from Suffolk University and USA Today that shows former Vice President Joe Biden and Senator Elizabeth Warren neck and neck in the early state of Iowa. Biden with 18%, Warren with 17%. What do you make of that?
I think that it's really dangerous to look at Iowa and just look at public opinion polls. You've got to look at what's happening on the ground and who's got the best organization. And by all counts, it's Elizabeth and Mayor Pete. And so I expect that what we're going to see is a mixed result out of Iowa, but we're also going to see a lot of candidates who thought they would do well there not doing well.
Well, does it concern you at all as somebody who represented a state that, as you've said, is further to the right than a lot of states in this country, North Dakota? Does it concern you that Elizabeth Warren, who is on the left wing of the Democratic Party, that she's doing as well as she is in the primary process so far?
Well, I mean, she's not breaking out. She's in competition with a whole lot of other people. And again, when you look at those numbers, both she and Biden are polling below 20%. And that's pretty remarkable. And so let's not overstate it. I think that she has a message. She's clear about why she's doing it. That's compelling to people because they are tired of people who will talk around issues and not address them directly. So I expect that what we're going to see will be a lot of people being more direct about their message. You saw it already with Senator Klobuchar and I think Mayor Pete moving forward. So there's a lot of time between now and the Iowa caucus.
Do you think, though, that Democrats and Republicans who say that Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders would not be able to win against President Trump, do you think that they're right?
No, I don't think they're right. I think that everybody needs to take a deep breath and realize that if this becomes about a major initiative like Medicare for All, then we've missed the message. And that's the danger. The danger is that this has to be a referendum on this president. And the frustrating part for me is when I listen to this argument about who's going to pay for healthcare, number one, it doesn't address how much healthcare we're buying that we're not getting good results from, but it also gets the president off the hook. He's in court right now saying, we're going to eliminate your protections on pre-existing conditions, and we're going to take away your Medicaid expansion, which has been critically important to rural health care. We need to make this about the president and his policies, not just the corruption and not just the crazy that comes out of the White House, but how he is hurting Americans every day with the policies that he's promoting.
But if it is a Warren or a Sanders that ends up getting the nomination, do you see them backing off of their Medicare for All plan to try to appeal to a general election electorate?
No, I don't. I mean, I think that they are true believers. We'll see what Elizabeth says today or in the next couple of days about how she's going to pay for this. But I think at the end of the day, they are who they are. That's what makes them compelling candidates. The question is, can they sell those policies? It's going to be up to them to sell those policies. And Bernie constantly reminded me, look, at, you know, the majority of people in this country would love to be on Medicare if they could. My point is, there's a fair number of those people who don't want to be on any government insurance. And so let's move ourselves forward in terms of the direction of universal coverage without doing dramatic things that are going to frighten people and take the focus away from what the president's doing, which is taking away health care from millions and millions of people in this country.
What do you make of what Warren and Sanders are saying about taxing the rich right now? They're talking about Elizabeth Warren, an ultra-millionaire tax. People would pay a 2% tax on every dollar they have over $50 million. Is that something you think makes sense for the party to get behind right now?
Well, I'll tell you, it's polls really high, even among Republicans. You know, I'm a former tax commissioner from North Dakota, so I look at this kind of from how do you administer it. And I think you'll see that of the countries that have actually imposed wealth taxes, the majority of them have backed off because it didn't achieve the results that they had hoped. So my advice is, look, take a look at things within the current tax code that advantage very, very wealthy people. Things like the difference between earned and unearned income in terms of tax rates. There's a whole lot of things that you can be talking about that actually achieve, I think, a better result. But like I said, this is enormously popular, not just among Democrats and independents, but also among Republicans.
Senator, I want to ask you about one more thing, and it involves not Senator Warren or Senator Sanders, but Pete Buttigieg, the mayor of South Bend, Indiana, who in the last debate many times reminded voters where he's from. Here he is.
Look, this is why people here in the Midwest are so frustrated with Washington in general. Let me tell you, though, how this looks from the industrial Midwest where I live. Because here in the industrial Midwest, definitely where I live.
Okay, so, Senator, I grew up in the Midwest, too, and it seemed a little like pandering when I heard that. But what did you think? Does it work to remind people that he's from the Midwest?
Well, I think Amy does the same thing. And it does, I think, suggest that there is a different perspective and a different point of view. I mean, it's not saying we're morally more capable or that we're better than the next person, but we do come with a different perspective if you grew up in the Midwest. And also, I think, a greater sense of the political challenges. And I think that's what he's saying. You know, he's from Indiana. I'm from North Dakota. We understand that Democrats used to win those states, but they won by being pragmatists and by not overpromising things they couldn't deliver. And so I think if you look at what his message really was, it wasn't one of superiority. It was one of, look, we're many ways more pragmatic than a lot of people are who live in places where it is deep blue.
Do you think that he could be a surprise winner in Iowa?
Yep, I do. You know, it was interesting. Nate Silver today said, look, everybody's ballyhooing this 13%, but he's been at 13% for a while. And again, in Iowa, I look at who has the ground game, who has the enthusiasm, who has people who are true believers, who are knocking doors, and I think he is surging.
That is Heidi Heitkamp, who's the former Democratic senator from North Dakota. Thank you so much for joining us.
You bet. Thank you.